Well, I already mentioned that I'm so glad that you're here and blessed by your presence. Been praying that this would be a service of encouragement for each of us. You know, there's something powerful about the body gathering together. And I think maybe even more so in moments of crisis or concern or anxiety, it's just so important for us to come together and huddle and pray and look to God and voice our faith in Him as we head into the storm. And I'm just so blessed this morning by your worship and your presence here. I think a lot of people are tired. I sense it. I know that you sense it as well. There's a different feel coming into Typhoon Bobby than what we saw in Senlaku. We were nervous about Senlaku, but it was, you know, kind of had some fresh energy and nobody wanted it to happen, but we're coming at it. And one right after another does feel overwhelming. And so you're not alone if you feel that. I think we all sense that maybe from each other. In fact, I've been thinking this week, what happens when the storms keep coming? Have you ever noticed that life doesn't always give you time to catch your breath? Sometimes we weather one storm, and before we've cleaned up the damage, another one appears on the horizon. And sometimes it feels like it's wave after wave. Just when you think that I think we're finally getting through this, then another storm arrives. I want you to notice, we're not going to stay in this text, but I want you to notice something really beautiful in Isaiah chapter 43. You don't even have to turn there, but Isaiah 43 says this, first couple verses, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." And if I can encourage you a little bit this morning, God doesn't say, if you pass through the waters. It does say when you pass through the waters. And one of the things that it helps is that it helps build our theology of storms. We have a storm theology, whether you know it or not, you have one. I want to put this into your storm theology, that storms are not a sign that God has abandoned his people. They're part of living in a broken world. So God's not abandoned his people, but there's something else. God also doesn't promise that I'll keep you out of every flood. He promises, I think, something even greater. He says, I will be with you. I don't promise that they won't come. In fact, they will come. And when they do come, I don't promise that I'll keep you out of them. But I do promise something even greater. I promise that I'll be with you. And I think that's the heart of Isaiah 43. God's greatest promises are not the absence of storms, that it's his presence in the middle of them. And maybe for some of us here, it's not about a literal storm. I mean, maybe you feel like there's a lot of other things happening. The storm is just like a surface level of all the other things happening in your life. Maybe it's a health issue followed by financial pressure. Or maybe it's a family conflict followed by discouragement. Or maybe it's a difficult diagnosis followed by a loss of a job. Or whatever the storm is that seems to keep coming. The waters, the storm, the flood is real. The pain is real. But so is his presence. I've got a feeling that for some of us, we walked in church a little bit exhausted. You feel like, man, I've been strong for a long time. I've kept serving. I've kept smiling. But inside, I'm kind of wondering, Lord, how many more storms can I take? And can I just encourage you with this, that the same God who carried you through the last storm, He's not grown weary. We might be, but his strength hasn't diminished. His promises have not expired. His faithfulness has not changed. If he was enough yesterday, he'll be enough today, and he'll be enough tomorrow. So here's my thought for you here this morning before we're gonna go into Proverbs 18. I'll tell you about it in a minute, but listen to this. Don't measure God's faithfulness by the intensity of your storm. Measure it by the certainty of his presence. He will be faithful. He has promised that. The faithfulness may or not be in the level of the storm, but it will be in his presence through it. Some of you have watched God carry you through storms you never imagined that you'd survive. And if you're feeling it today, remember this, that the God who has been faithful in every storm of your past is already present in the storm that you're facing today. So let's keep trusting him. Let's keep praying. Let's keep encouraging one another. And let's keep worshiping the God who walks with his people, Isaiah says, through the waters. That's what he does for us. All right, I want you to take a deep breath, and I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 18. While you're turning there, let me pray and just sort of reset our hearts, and then we're going to look at a couple of passages here. Proverbs 18. Father, it's good to be together. And even in the room, we can feel the weight of the storm in front of us. And I pray that you'd encourage us today. Help us to know your presence here and in the days to come. And help us to be encouraged just by being together. Would we encourage each other? We want to look into your word. We want to grow. And so we ask that you'd press us forward this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to take a few minutes and kind of get us reset in a series that we started a couple of weeks ago. We started a summer teaching series called Words Matter at the beginning of June. If you're here, you might remember that I challenged all of us to begin praying a very simple prayer from Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I encourage you to memorize it and think about it and pray through it. How many of you found that to be a little bit harder than you expected? Maybe a lot of us. In fact, I've had some really cool conversations with people. A lot of them just things that God has been teaching them, and an awareness of their words and their tone that maybe they hadn't even been thinking about, or maybe hadn't been realizing. I can admit that there have been some moments when I said something and then thought, you know, that would have been a really great thing to keep inside my head. And some of you maybe felt some of the same. Some of you maybe replayed a conversation hours later and thought, why did I say that? Or why did I say anything? Why didn't I just stay quiet in that part of it? And here's the problem is that nobody wakes up planning to damage a relationship. Nobody says, today I'm waking up, I think I'll discourage my wife. I think that's my plan here this today. Or frustrate my husband. Yeah, you know, today I really hope to crush one of my kids. I mean, nobody wakes up wanting to say that. I didn't wake up wanting to create tension at work. It happens to us one sentence at a time, and that's why this teaching, this series really matters. And so we spent some time in week number one in James chapter 3, right? And just talked about the fact that words matter. It's significant. Words are powerful. A tiny tongue can steer an entire life, and a single spark can start a forest fire. And week two, we spent in Ephesians chapter 4, just walking through really this idea that not only do our words affect other people, but our words affect God. Ephesians 4 talks about this idea that we can grieve the Holy Spirit even with our words. Today, we're going to go back into the Old Testament to the book of Proverbs. And the reason that we're in Proverbs is that the book is filled with instructions and teaching about our words. There are over 150 references to the mouth, the lips, the tongue, words, gossip, speech. I mean, it just comes up all over the book of Proverbs. Of course, we can't look at all of them, even if we're doing this the whole series. But what I want to do is group a few of them together. We'll be able to do it quickly and into some themes, and then talk about why this is such a big topic in Solomon's writing. So to help us and to prep us for that, we really need to understand what Proverbs is actually about. Have you read through the whole book of Proverbs? Some of you, I'm sure you've done this many times. But if you're a new Christian, I want to encourage you about this. One of the things that some people do is Proverbs has 31 chapters in it. And some people say, I'm going to read one chapter every day in connection with the day of the month it is, right? So 31 days pretty much matches most months, or at least some of the months in our year. And so if it's, July 5th, I'm going to read, Proverbs chapter 5. And so in the course of a month, just a, quick reading, you can read all the way through the book of Proverbs. I'd encourage you to do that. In fact, maybe you're going to do that in connection with some other reading from another passage. And many people spend a whole year and read one of those Proverbs every day of the month through that year. You're going to come back to a lot of really powerful nuggets of truth in the book of Proverbs. If I can give you just a quick overview, and I'll tell you why this is important later, but just if you're not familiar with the book of Proverbs, there's a big picture, and the big picture is the word wisdom. It's like a one-word theme, wisdom. And the entire book revolves around one great question. Will you walk in wisdom, or will you live like a fool? The whole book is sort of this contrast. Key verse is Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If I can just give you a quick summary, the first nine chapters are like a conversation or a diary of advice written from a father to a son. And it's really awesome. And the father is urging his son to choose wisdom and not foolishness. And in fact, I listed this. I wanted you to see. It talks about listening to good counsel and choose your friends carefully and avoid sexual temptation and value wisdom over wealth. And wisdom brings life. Foolishness brings destruction. A lot of other things, but really, really important teaching. Then chapters 10 through 29, instead of sort of long speeches, 10 through 29 is this series of hundreds of short, memorable sayings. Almost every verse is a different topic. It might be grouped together by a couple of different verses, but in all of that, he talks about speech and work versus laziness and money and pride and anger and friendships and family and honesty and integrity and discipline, right? So the idea is not just memorize some sayings, but develop wise instincts. In fact, that's one of the benefits of reading through the book of Proverbs multiple times, because these little short sayings, they begin to kind of guide your life. You're able to develop instincts about how to, how do I make decisions in my world? And how do, I process a number of things that we walk through as Christians. So that's all kind of this overview of Proverbs. Proverbs, at least for me, it's really hard to teach or preach from. For us to try to do, expository teaching, like through a section, Proverbs is hard, especially the last half of the book, because, unless you're just going to teach on one verse, which you can, but if you're going to try to do multiple verses, often it's like different topics. It's hard to group them together because one verse, the next verse, is like a totally different idea. So, When we teach through Proverbs, this is what we're going to do this morning. A lot of times what we do is we have to talk about a theme and then look at some of the verses, and they might come in several different passages that attach to that theme. Well, words or communication or speech is one of those topics in Proverbs that's just really easy to talk about because there's literally 150 different verses that describe the importance of our words. And so we're gonna just do a quick overview of those things. The Hebrew word for wisdom is chokmah, one of my favorite Hebrew words. Chokmah, right? You say that with me. Chokmah. Yeah, that's okay. And it means skill for living. It doesn't simply mean intelligence. It talks about how we apply wisdom to our life and to our living. A person may have a high IQ and still be a fool. A person may have a bunch of degrees and still destroy every relationship that they have. So biblical wisdom is learning how to live God's way in God's world. So the fool says, I'll do life my way. And the wise person says that I'm going to trust God's way. I'm going to find out what God's way is to live in the world that he's created. I want you to imagine every day as a series of intersections that you're coming to. Every conversation, every disagreement, every text message, every family dinner, every staff meeting, every social media post, it's as if you are arriving at another intersection. And at that intersection, one road is wisdom and the other road is foolishness, and you got to decide. Every conversation asks the question, which road are you about to take? That's the idea of Proverbs. And if you kind of find and mine its gold, you will have the resources that you need to take the right road at every one of those intersections. So that's the significance of it. And all of that brings us to this key verse, really, for the whole series. In fact, I'm just going to stop at this key verse. I'm not going to go through the five. We're going to come back to it. This key verse for our whole series in Proverbs 18:21. Look at it. It says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Notice the certainty of it. It doesn't say that words might have consequences. It says that they do. And the last phrase, look at that. It says, those who love it will eat its fruit. And here's what I got. Listen very closely. Every conversation that you have plants something. And whatever you plant, it'll eventually bear fruit. Your tongue never has a neutral day. You're either planting life or you're planting death. Every conversation, every interaction, you're either planting life or you're planting death. You're planting encouragement or discouragement. You're planting hope or you're planting despair. You're planting truth or you're planting deception. Every conversation leaves something behind. And so what we want to ask here in Proverbs, we want to ask this question: how do wise people talk? I mean, if we get it that our words have power of life and death, and if we get it that our words reveal our hearts, I mean, if my words are important, then the question that we're asking is, what does wisdom look like? And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about five themes, five answers, five key texts that teach us, kind of the one word answers that teach us to listen, to plant healing, to tell the truth, to protect, and to build. It's as if Proverbs is not telling us, watch your mouth. Proverbs is telling us, hey, if you could sit across the table from the wisest person who ever lived and asked him, hey, what's significant about my words? How can I guide my words so that I could be a person of healing and not hurting? Here's the things that the writer of Proverbs of Solomon would teach us. I'm going to come back to that. I'm trying to read the room a little bit. And I think if I do spend time on these five, I will lose you quickly. And so I'm not going to do that. I might be wrong, but that's what I'm sensing on that. So I'm going to come back to these five another time when we can talk about it. Let me end here with this. Now we're going to pray together. Hopefully one of the things that we're learning together about our speech, about our words, is that it's really not just about the words. Words have impact. It's not about our words. It's not about the speech so much. What we're really talking about is we're talking about discipleship. Because eventually, every disciple begins to sound like the one that they're following. And if we're honest, every one of us failed. It's one of the conversations that I've had. I told you it's been really cool talking with people about the series, Words Matter. It's been cool and also really convicting, I think, for all of us. The conversations mostly go like this. Man, this has been really great, and it's been hard. The messages have felt convicting, and then during the week as I'm trying to apply this, I'm so reminded of how often that I fail in the words that I use, and I'm really trying to grow in this area. And this has been good, but this has been hard. And I think again this morning, I think we come back to this. We fail in our words. You look back on the last week and you're like, man, there have been a couple times when I know what I said, that was not the thing that I should have said. This was not the thing that really honored God. And that's why Proverbs, it's one of the main things of Proverbs, that ultimately it points us beyond ourselves. Because like all of the Old Testament, the Old Testament teaches us that no matter how hard we try, we can never fully fulfill the expectations. We'll never do it perfectly. We want to grow in our speech, but we're going to find out that week after week, we come back and we're going to say, hey, there's failing that's happened. And hopefully I'm growing. It's not as much, but I still feel discouraged even this week about some of the things that came out of my mouth. And the whole point of the Old Testament in that way is that there's never been anyone who has perfectly lived out the wisdom of Proverbs except for Jesus. Every word that he spoke was true. Every correction that he made for other people was righteous. Every encouragement brought life. Every conversation reflected the Father, and that's why we come to this place where we say, our words and understanding our words is not about trying harder. It's really about discipleship. When a relationship with Jesus happens, then he gives us, he doesn't just forgive sinful words. I mean, we kind of come to that point. Man, I messed up. God, would you forgive me? And we need to talk about that. But it's not just Jesus' ministry of forgiving our sinful words. He gives us a new heart. And from a transformed heart, then new words begin to grow. And so, church, I'm not in this series trying to get you to try harder. I'm trying to encourage us to walk closer to Jesus. Walk closer to Jesus. Because the people who walk close with Jesus gradually begin to sound like Jesus. And that's the answer to the failure of our words. We got to walk with Jesus so that we can begin to sound like him. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Father, in the middle of all of this weekend, we're thankful for the privilege to lift our voices in praise. And we're thankful for the privilege of being able to encourage each other in the word. And then just do a real quick reminder of the power of our words. Even this week, in the midst of maybe some exhaustion and perhaps some frustration that might come up, Father, I pray that you'd help us, that our words would be the kind of words that could please you. Would the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight? And Father, we know that this does not happen as we try harder. It happens as we walk closer with you. And so would these days be filled with days that we can connect and grow and walk with you even through the storms, because you have promised that you would walk with us. And so we leave these things before you, asking you to guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.